This is Fresh Air. British rocker Graham Parker may be best known for his bitter relations with his record companies. He's been on 5 different labels during his career, and some of them inspired biting songs, such as Mercury Poisoning, his parting shot to his first label, Mercury Records. Graham Parker came on the British music scene in the mid-70s. Rock critic Robert Christgau wrote of the songs on Parker's first album, Howling Wind, "Their fury is unmistakable. In the time-honored English manner, bass and drums play the house-rocking rhythms of Chicago and Detroit for righteous anger rather than good-time escape." Parker's reputation as one of Britain's angry young men has been tempered in recent years. On his new album, Struck by Lightning, he sings about settling down into family life. This is his song, Brand New Book.
Somebody's life, I had a few moments to spare. He was a good man who lived with his wife, with the usual kids in his hair. There was happiness, a lot of weirdness, and a sprinkle of tragedy. I pulled it by chance from a secondhand bin, but it could have been written just for me.
Graham Parker, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello, thanks for having me.
I want to quote part of the lyric from the song we've just been listening to, and I think everybody who hears the album notices this line, because the words came out, not twist and shout, because that's not what a grown man writes about. I'm wondering when you started feeling that your songs had to change to reflect how your life had changed?
Well, I think the idea behind that first off was kind of sort of anti-MTV bands, really, who all seem to be sort of, you know, singing about youth things, and some of these people aren't quite so youthful, you know. So it was kind of about that, really. That was the idea of the line, but I guess then it sort of took on a different meaning, really, relating to me. Because, you know, you go through this period when you're, after like 2 or 3 LPs, I went through a period of thinking, you know, what do you write about now? I mean, what is it all about? I'm 28 or whatever, and you can't keep writing about the stuff that burned you up in the first place, you know? Luckily, I've just been able to formulate what's going on, what I see and what I feel, into different kind of songs, like you see on the new record, on Struck by Lightning. Get songs like The Kid with the Butterfly Net and Strong Winds and
Children and Dogs.
Children and Dogs, yeah, things that could not have been 5 years ago. And I feel kind of lucky that those ideas have come to me and I've been able to put them into songs and not gone strayed from my original, hopefully, integrity, you know.
Is it hard to write about children and dogs and subjects like, you know, being a father?
Yeah, it is, with any kind of credibility. Yes, it is, to make it interesting. But it's all hard, you know. This whole thing is just work. That's basically what it is.
But what's particularly hard about writing, for instance, about being a father?
Well, you can't be mushy about it or sentimental. You just have to... I just try to find the humour in it. I mean, people often think my songs are so deadly serious, and there is some serious stuff in there, but I find it funny, most of it, you know.
I want to point out that it would be a cliché and incorrect for our listeners to assume that because you're writing songs about children and dogs that it means you've lost your anger. Because you haven't. I mean, and there's still angry songs on the new record.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, she wants so many things.
Exactly.
It's fairly vehement, you know. Yeah, you can write. I can write angry songs in my sleep. Really, it's easier to write those kind of songs than anything else. But you just have to put it into some kind of format where you're cutting sort of below the flesh a little bit with it. So it really is spiky, you know. But it's hard to write love songs that are good, that don't just have Moon in June things, I think.
Your album came to us with a press release written by you, I think, that kind of details everything that went wrong with previous records and previous performance tours. Yeah. It seemed like a strange kind of press. You know, press releases usually are in praise of everything.
Yeah. I hate those things. You know, it's Graham Parker started he was born at an early age, and, you know, became slightly taller than he was, you know, and played in the great pub rock, you know, all that junk, which I really quite dislike. It's all very simplistic. I thought it was better to be a bit cutting about it and have a little dig at the producers you know, generally make it fun than being too sort of serious, you know.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Graham Parker, and he's got a new album out, which is called Struck by Lightning. We'll take a short break, and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Singer, guitarist, and songwriter Graham Parker is my guest. Let's talk about how you got started in music. Where did you grow up, first of all?
I was born in London. I grew up in a place called Deep Cut, Camberley, Surrey, which is suburban country area, about 35 miles out of London, very near a town called Aldershot, which is known as the home of the British Army, and very near where I grew up there were barracks where soldiers would be, and also some quite nice countryside, but you know, suburbia as well, a mix of places really.
So did you go to a school with a lot of kids whose parents were in the army?
Yeah, exactly. Quite a lot of them were. They were always getting their boxes in from Malta or Cyprus or something. The boxes are coming. My guitar's in there, you know, and it's 6 months later the boxes arrive, you know. They'd settle into their new home and then they'd be posted to, you know, Saudi Arabia or something. So I met a lot of interesting kids who were kind of rootless, really.
Did you relate to them or did you feel different from them?
I felt different from everybody all the time. I felt totally different, you know.
What was it about yourself that made you feel so different?
I don't know. It's hard to pin down, really. It's just that feeling that you've got something, you know, that you want to relate somehow. I can't really remember. I just know I felt a bit unusual. I think being slightly smaller than everyone helps a bit. You know, most kids who are smaller. Now I've sort of grown up, I look around, there are lots of people shorter than me. But at the time, it seemed like I was the shortest person in the world, you know. And you just wish you were like everybody else, but you know you're a bit different. Also, I felt as though somehow I'd missed a year at school. And I didn't know where the year went. Everybody seems to know these basic things that I had no idea about.
What kinds of things?
I don't know, just like adding up and subtracting and things and, you know, basic sort of history things. I just didn't understand why other people knew these things and I didn't. So I imagined for a long time that I'd lost a year somewhere. Maybe I was abducted or something by aliens or something like that.
That must be it.
But, I think this is kind of thing that sort of gives you the conviction to do things alone, and that's what I did. I learned to play and write songs alone, you know. You know, that's given me a good background to keep on doing it, I think.
Did you play in bands when you were young, or did you mostly play in your room?
I had bands. I had a band when I was 13. We were called the Deep Cut Three, and then we became the Black Rockers. And then when I was 15, various bands. I think The Way Out was one of them, sort of a R&B kind of band, you know. But we couldn't play well at all. I was a very slow learner because I do everything my own way. And I really started learning guitar when I was about 21, when there was a kind of big singer-songwriter thing going on, the James Taylors and all that kind of stuff. So then I got a bit more serious about acoustic guitar and learning to play. But, you know, I didn't... it took me a long time, and I'm still learning now. I'm still becoming a musician as I go along.
You had said before that you really hate the kind of press release that says Graham Parker, blah, 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 started the pub rock scene, blah, 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 because that was really simplistic. But, I mean, it is true you were a really important part of what's, you know, become known as pub rock. And, you know, you got started playing at the Hope and Anchor, which was one of the big
Yeah, well, people say that. I mean, I was a guy from the suburbs who wasn't playing regularly in bands or anything, and I met these musicians who were known as pub rock people, the Brinsley Schwartz and Martin Belmont, and we played about 11 gigs in pubs, but, you know, everyone plays it. The Police were playing in pubs, you see. Nobody says great pub rock band, The Police, you know. I don't really get it, you know, it's not my scene. You just start off playing in pubs because there's nowhere else to play. I mean, where else is there? It's like playing in bars. You don't call Huey Lewis a great bar player, you know? He's a pop star, you know what I mean? And he played in bars all around San Francisco. So, you know, I find that a very limiting idea, personally. A few months, we were playing concert halls and stuff, you know. So it's the association with those musicians that got me into that sort of categorization, I suppose.
Wasn't it all helpful to you when you started, you know, recording in the latter part of the mid-70s to know that there was a, you know, something that was considered a movement, new wave or pub rock or whatever, but there was a category of people who were new, who were doing something different, in part by returning to the roots, but there was a place that you could be different yet fit into. I'm wondering if that felt useful.
Well, I felt that I was really the only one who had any idea when I emerged with the Rumour and made my first record and started playing around. I was the only one who really had any idea. I was acting like I was grabbing the world by the throat, and I was very aggressive, and I was saying, this is it, man, this is what's going to happen, this is what's happening now. And I saw other people, like Elvis Costello with his band Flip City, with about six people playing in the Hope and Anchor. Six people came to see it, I think, and he was the same. There was no aggression, no attack, no look at me, I am serious, man, you know. And I was totally different from that. So I emerged and got successful quicker than these people, and then they would come to see me and see what was going on, and I think that they picked up stuff from me. And then, of course, the Sex Pistols came along, who took it to a whole different level altogether, where they actually, Johnny Rotten said to the audience, I bet you don't hate us as much as we hate you, which I wish I'd said, you know. I really do.
Why do you wish you'd said that?
Well, that's better than, you know, making five LPs the hard way. Just coming up with a phrase like that is going to catapult you into stardom, you know. That was a great thing to say, and very true as well, because all these people are sitting there, you know, and this scruffy bunch are playing hideously, and was like playing hard, fast, 3-minute songs, you know, and not sort of drinking beer and, you know, looking like I was enjoying myself, you know. So anyway, then that new wave thing happened and made it possible for people to be serious about it again, you know.
Let me play something from one of your records with The Rumour. And this is a track from your album Squeezing Out Sparks. And this is the song Nobody Hurts You. Do you want to say anything about this song?
This whole album had a very sort of almost conceptual thing about the suburbs of England, I think. It was me, after going away and touring and doing what I was doing and becoming, you know, a musician and a person with a record deal and making records, me coming back and looking at the suburbs of England a bit. And Nobody Hurts You has some references to that, and Local Girls does as well.
Okay, here we go. This is Graham Parker. Graham Parker from his album Squeezing Out Sparks. And I should mention, Graham Parker has a new album. It's called Struck by Lightning. Well, you're living in the States now.
Most of the time, yeah, upstate. New York. I spend most of my time there.
Is that because you're married? Did you marry an American?
Yeah, that's right. But I spent a lot of time looking around there, and I love the country and the mountains and the wildlife and stuff. I'm a bit of a country person at heart, really. And I've lived in Manhattan, spent a lot of time in Manhattan, which is great fun, but I've got a kid and didn't really want to you know, be one of these girls who work in Balducci's and don't say please and thank you, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's nice to be in the country.
Graham Parker, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you.
Graham Parker from his latest album, Struck by Lightning. This is She Wants So Many Things.
She wants so many things you can give to her. She wants so many things you don't have much. She wants so many things you can deliver to her. She wants so many things all at once. Like a brick wall that'll keep her from crumbling, and a camouflage jacket to hide from herself in, and a system of worship like a powerful magnet that'll jar in the heathens, pick them up in a dragnet and pull them underwater till they all go stagnant. And she wants so many things beamed in on a satellite, served up on a silver tray, a wasp and a parasite. She wants so many things, where you gonna find them all? She wants so many things, get up and run. She wants so many.
This is Fresh Air.